It's Wednesday, August 31st, 2011, and welcome to episode 123 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom. It is the end of August, and thousands of educators are going back to school all across the nation. This month, we have some September 11th resources to share with you, as this year marks the 10-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Dr. Cindy Rich is back again to share resources from the Library of Congress that teachers may be interested in using in the classroom. But first, I want to take a moment to recognize the many individuals that have worked very hard over the summer to prepare for the first week of school. Before teachers and professors return to school, there is an invisible army of support staff that have been working away all summer to make the first week of back to school a successful one for students. From building service workers that have been doing maintenance, cleaning, and waxing of floors, to the technical support staff that have been busy adding wireless internet connections, installing new equipment, repairing old equipment, and updating software, this time of year is always hectic. So if you see someone in the hallways that has made your life a little easier this week, be sure to give them a thank you for all their efforts. I want to personally give a salute to all the support staff that work tirelessly that are often unrecognized for all their efforts. We here at EIU are off to a smooth start to the school year, and that is in no small part attributable to all the work that occurs over the summertime by numerous individuals that have things ready to go for the first week back to school. So thank you to all the dedicated staff that make a difference for a successful start to the school year. At our university, we have installed hundreds of new computers, updated thousands, and improved the network to handle increased traffic. All of this is unnoticed unless something goes wrong. When you click your mouse on a link, it just works. It just works because of all the preparation and hard work that goes into providing the services required to support a modern school. This month marks the 10th year anniversary of the September 11th attacks on America, and many teachers will be looking for resources to share with students in a couple of weeks. Here is my interview with Dr. Cindy Rich, who gives an overview of primary sources that are available from the Library of Congress website. With me today is Dr. Cindy Rich, the Director of Teaching with Primary Sources here at Eastern Illinois University. And we've invited Cindy back this month. We're recording this at the end of August. And at our last podcast recording, we talked about, you know, what would be some timely things for Teaching with Primary Sources to share. And since we're coming up on the 10th year anniversary of the September 11th attacks, we thought we would talk a little bit about some of the resources and things out there that are available through the Library of Congress and some of the Teaching with Primary Sources resources that Dr. Rich has for us. So welcome, Cindy.
Thank you. Very happy to be back. As we're starting to get closer to the anniversary of September 11th, we're starting to see commercials on television for different ceremonies and programs that are coming up. And so we felt it was important to talk about those resources that are offered by the Library of Congress. Number one, because teachers are just getting back in the classroom. They have a brand new group of students that they may or may not know well yet. And so how do you approach the topic of September 11th in a classroom with students that you're just getting to know, and as well as different age levels? Right. And so it's something teachers are talking about amongst themselves and then with other teachers online and in different locations. You know, things we discussed between you and I about age level appropriateness. A lot of these students are young, and so the recollections that they have of September 11th aren't their own memories,
right,
but what they've heard us talk about.
Right, K-12 students, you know, many of them weren't born.
Exactly.
And then even at the college level, you know, our students here, freshmen, sophomores, were in junior high,
right,
when it happened.
And some of our new teachers that are out in the schools were,
right,
students themselves when it happened, and they remember what it was like in their classrooms on that day, no matter where you were. I know that we in Central Illinois were impacted, you know, deeply by what happened. And so I think, you know, everybody has that memory. How do we share those things with these young people that we have in our classroom today? Another thing is, you know, those of us that are far away from Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. and New York City, that when you're many miles away from it, it does give you an opportunity to not think about it sometimes, and you know it's there.
Right.
But it also, because we're so far away, we don't have access to some of the materials and resources they have in those communities. And one of the great things about what the library's done, and some other sites as well, is made resources available to teachers away, even in rural, you know, parts of the country and other areas, that they can find things.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing I thought, you know, there were a couple of different approaches to looking for September 11th resources on the Library of Congress website. And I thought we'd go general and then talk specifically about a couple of collections that are available.
Okay.
First one is sort of a cheat that I use. It's the Today in History mm-hmm. page. And from the Library of Congress homepage, it's down at the bottom of the page. Click on Today in History, and they have an archive. And you can put any date that you want. And this is actually fun to do with students when they put their birthday in or any dates that are important to them to see what sort of historical events happened.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's like a hook. It has really interesting pictures and pieces of information to draw kids in mm-hmm. or draw learners into a topic.
Now, are those archived out there? So, like, if you go past 2 or 3 days from the date, because September 11th this year is on a Sunday.
It is. There's actually a whole, you can go click on an archive tag,
mm-hmm.
tab, and you can pull and pick any date, any month that you want.
Okay.
And they'll have it available. But, you know, the first thing, when I pulled that up, the very first thing you see is an image of the skyline of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that brings it all back to all of us when we see that, because we saw those images
mm-hmm.
over and over in that. But it gives just a little bit of information on the different areas you can find resources within the library. So it's a good starting point for a teacher looking for resources or any students that are doing research.
Mm-hmm.
Then from that one, you know, that's Today in History. It's just going to be a little bit of information, a small amount to hook somebody in. The really exciting thing that I found was if you go to the homepage of the Library of Congress and put September 11 into that, you know, search box in the upper right-hand corner, it, you know, you immediately met with 11,777 matches.
Yeah, that's loc.gov, the main site.
Right. And so, you know, that just gives you a taste of everything. Mm-hmm. And it pops up, and, you know, you immediately, you see documents, photos or images from that children drew and things like that. And, you know, personally, as I looked at it, you know, I saw there were pictures of first responders. And the reason it caught my eye is my son Brock, who was 10 at the time, is now a first responder.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really has a different impact on me and significance
mm-hmm.
to me, as it does, I'm sure, our students and the people who were children when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that we talk about it. Some of the materials they have in the Library of Congress, some of them were collected right then. They started collecting them immediately and started documenting things. Others were collected over time as people had, you know, collections or found things. And then some were part of kind of what they refer to as the healing process that were created in response.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and so all these different types of primary sources are available, and people can access those in that digital format and use them in their classroom. Of course, most of them can right-click, and you can save to a computer, put into whatever media,
mm-hmm.
if you need or presentation tool you want to use in your classroom. Again, always use proper citation practices and
right.
things like that.
And one of the nice things about whenever you do the search from the home page, on the left-hand side, it gives you the different formats. Like, is it a web page? Is it a photograph, book, audio? So just those categories are kind of nice to be
yes.
able to sort through.
So you can kind of narrow down your search for a little bit if right. there's something specific you're looking for. So that, you know, most of us don't have time to go through 11,000 different items.
Yeah.
And that, but at least skimming through that, and there's different ways you can look on that search page if you want to just do a quick gallery view or whatever, but you can look through that and maybe get some direction
yeah.
as to how you want to use those in your classroom.
And then I would think, as September 11th gets closer, that the library would have a special section dedicated to that. They've just not activated that
right.
yet.
Yeah, they're just, I know there's been a lot of discussion about that, and so it's just a matter of how it's going to be presented to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And easily accessible. Some of the things are government documents And like I said, other things have just been collected from various resources. And so those are the two most general ways to find information right now. There are two collections that are really going to help you if you're looking for things that you can find. The first is from the exhibits, and the exhibit was actually on display at the Library of Congress right after, like a year after the 9/11 tragedies and that. But now it's, you know, archived in this digital format, and it's also been added to over time, which is really good. That one's called Witness and Response, September 11th Acquisitions at the Library of Congress. And so those are the things that they just started collecting right away. And that, but the neat thing is, we know there are different divisions at the Library of Congress, the American Folklife Center, Geography and Map, all that, just like your library at home or your library at your school. And that, but this has pulled together items from all those different divisions and made them easier to find. So there's some really cool things in there that, you know, you can access from the American Folklife Center. And the American Folklife Center, that's one that really is cultural. They work with collecting things from to represent the culture of the communities in the United States and that. But they have the drawings by children that were submitted that are very powerful. And these are drawings by children not just in New York, Pennsylvania, and D.C., but around the country and see.
Well, you know, with it being all on live TV, I mean, everybody experienced it. And, you know, it happened, you know, approximately 9 o'clock in the morning, so everybody was in school. I remember that day clearly. And, you know, as a teacher, that's always a struggle, you know, watching something like that unfold and not knowing what's going to happen. So, there are a lot of scars there, I'm sure. So that age appropriateness is, you know, we're going to have to pay a lot of attention to that.
You're absolutely right. And two, even back when it happened, some schools had it on television, some didn't. And so there were all these different approaches as to how do we, how much do we let students know about these topics? And then we'd also talked about how, you know, some of those students in those classrooms are the teachers in those classrooms now, and how their own experience is going to impact how they teach it.
Right.
And how they present it to the students in their classrooms. Right. So that'll be interesting to see if that impacts what they do in their own classroom.
Yeah, and everybody's at a little bit different stage of life. So as you said, our new teachers that graduate from here, they're going to have a different perspective than, you know, say a classroom teacher that experienced, you know, with their own class.
Right, right. So yeah, so it is going to be a very personal thing. There's not going to be a set curriculum that somebody can just draw up a lesson plan and do it. So it's a very personal thing. And hopefully teachers are talking to each other and helping. We both know they are, because that's what teachers do.
Yeah.
And that, but, you know, helping each other through this and coming up with how they're going to work together and collaborate and build on each other's experiences and activities. Okay, going back to that witness and response collection, from the American Folklife Center, they had the drawings, and they also did the man on the street interviews. So if you have higher grade level students, they could do the man on the street interviews, and that's a great way to pull in those oral history projects and recording oral history projects and talking about whether it is, you know, personal perspective. Because when you do an interview on the street, you're just getting what somebody gives you right there and then. It's not scripted and all. So, you know, you hear bias, you hear those foundations and those personal things that we bring into our lives that when we talk about experiences. And so by listening to man on the street interviews or any kind of, you know, media like that, we hear what different people from different places in the country bring to it and how they experienced it. And even like those of us who only learned about it through the media didn't experience it firsthand. How we talk about it.
It's a very unique perspective, because in the electronic age that we live in, everything's recorded. So we essentially have that time capsule. And I know watching the History Channel and things, they're going to have a couple of shows, you know, essentially running that entire day of September 11th. So you do get to see, you know, the interviews with the first responders and the dispatchers and things out there. But also, I'll throw this one in. As it gets closer, as teachers, you know, we kind of start tuning into things, so we start noticing things. But I just found out about this resource out on YouTube, and it's called Reflections on September 11th. Share Your Story, And I'll provide a link in the show notes about this, but this is in partnership with the New York Times and the YouTube channel. And they're inviting people to record their reflections what happened that day. And they give you two or three questions here to reflect upon. And one of them is, what is your strongest memory of that day or time period? How did 9/11 change you? And how do you believe it changed America? And what is it that you lost or what is it that you gained because of September 11th?
And that is very neat.
And everybody, you know, everybody has their own unique experience. So they have something to contribute. And even though geographically, you know, we're thousands of miles away, you know, it is the United States of America. And I remember, you know, talking about some of the things, how I believe it changed America. We all came together after that day, and there was just a wave of patriotism.
Right.
And I very clearly remember being in Illinois, being a farmer, the combines, the tractors, we had flags taped to everything. And I remember that harvest season and just the flags waving. And, that's nothing that we've experienced since then.
You're right. And it's even though we were so far away and we couldn't be there to hands-on help, we wanted to do something and wanted to show. My husband and I were in New York shortly after 9/11, and we were walking around, and we went to Ground Zero and all of that, and it was just the following spring. Mm-hmm. And a lady came up to me, and she said, wow, it really looks different. She was from New York City. And she said, wow, it really looks different. It changed everything, didn't it? And I told her, I'm like, I never saw it. Mm-hmm. The only memories I really remember having of being consciously aware of the Twin Towers was that moment when they fell, mm-hmm. because I had never been there before. So that's what that is to me. Mm-hmm. Yet somebody who grew up in that area or lived in the Northeast saw them all the time. That was the skyline. Right. That mm-hmm. was, you know. So we do. We each have these personal memories and connections with these things. And so, which actually leads right into what I was going to talk about. We can pull in different types of primary sources to help, you know, talk about it as well. So we just talked about the man on the street and the drawings. Another thing they have is from the geography and map. And they have some fascinating things that would probably be useful in science classes even in that to talk about. But they have multiple aerial views of the World Trade Center. But they have thermal imagery images that they have that shows the underground fires that burned for weeks. Mm. And it's really interesting to see that. And then one of the other things, they have a video fly-through of Manhattan before and after. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you're flying through the city and you can see how it changed. So if you didn't experience that personally, that you were never able to be there, it's something you can kind of see. Mm-hmm. Of course, we all know, you know, the picture's worth a thousand words thing, and the photographs are still burned in our brains mm-hmm. from that day. And so Prints and Photographs has a lot of the documentary photographs, and they have pictures of that day that we've all seen. But then they also have submitted proposals for the redevelopment of the Twin Towers site. So architects and designers submitted their ideas, and those are all in those files. So, you know, you can look at those and see what some people saw as visions for how that site could be used. Another one, they have political cartoons, comic book art, and posters. There was a group of artists who created posters. They were supposed to lift our spirits. Mm-hmm. And so those are all, they're available at the Library of Congress too. So you have these different approaches to discussing it and dealing with it that are available on there. There was a really cool collection called Exit Art. And it was just, they went out to the public and said 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and, create something. And then they hung thousands of those together in one exhibit. And it, you know, perfectly showed the diversity of responses and, you know, just how different people saw this event and handled this event. And so those things are all in that witness and response acquisition to the Library of Congress. So it's a very diverse collection, which is really neat. Mm-hmm. You know, going the other direction, the Serial and Government Publications Division collected newspapers. And they have information about how different newspapers reported everything about September 11th and the stopping of air travel mm-hmm. and how that was, you know, impacting everyone in the whole country. and then the anthrax scare and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So you get to learn about these diverse perspectives and that it's not just a history lesson about one event on, or well, multiple events on one day, but it's more a cultural lesson about how we reacted, what we did, and what's happened since then. But the other collection that I was going to talk about is just within American Memory, and that's one we use a lot when we work with teachers. It's a really great starting point of digitized primary sources. But they have a documentary project, and it, again, you know, the day after the attacks, they started calling out to folklorists and people to do oral histories and interviews and just started collecting all of those things to have reactions from not just the people we see on the news and the political leaders, but everyday people, real people, and how they saw it and how they felt it. And that's important when we teach about these events because we all see what's on the news and what's presented to us. But when we hear it from real people and real families, it gives us a different perspective and understanding. And often we relate to that better. I know just even after the hurricane and storms this weekend, the news reports were one thing, but when I saw a family, especially when I saw a mother talking about her family, then it hit me hard, and I connected, and I understood the impact of that. So it's important to, you know, have those diverse perspectives. They have, you know, just the different ethnic, socioeconomic, and political viewpoints, which is kind of nice to be able to offer. Really, the only, you know, one of the things they've created specifically for teachers, the library does these things called collection connections. And when they have a collection like the September 11th documentary project in American Memory, they'll create pages that have ideas for the classroom in history, critical thinking, and arts and humanities. They're not lesson plans that are completely written out. And we know you can find those on the library site as well as other sites for September 11. But these are more just ideas that get you maybe going in a certain direction that can easily be adapted to your class, your students, and what you hope to get out of it. When you look at the collection online, there'll be a collection connection link, and you can find those. And they are really neat approaches to things like critical thinking, timelines, you know, cause and effect, and all of those types of things that we want our students to be aware of.
Yeah, and you've got a number of links there, so we'll provide those out in the show notes that'll take people directly to what we're talking about here.
And then, so that wraps up what we were talking about here with September 11th. I encourage teachers and anybody listening to this that they go out and they find out in their local community what anybody is doing, talk to their peers. In addition, you know, just regional, what kind of events and things are taking place, but not just on a national level, but locally, what's happening. And of course, keep checking back at the Library of Congress to see what on that website's going to be available.
I'm sure they're going to have it. As the date gets nearer, they'll have special sections out there for September 11th.
And I think most of, you know, all of the media companies and everybody will be.
Yeah, like I said, I was pretty impressed with some previews on the History Channel. They always do a good job on their documentaries.
They do.
So.
They do. And that, so, and as far as next month, I thought maybe we might look at, building on a current topic right now, is some natural disasters, because there are some fascinating primary sources available at the Library of Congress in different formats about natural disasters that have occurred in the history of the U.S. and how different communities, types of communities, have reacted to those and were impacted by them. But, you know, not only across the country geographically, but through the years and over the decades, and how things have evolved and changed and that. So I think it's a great opportunity to talk about that as well.
Yeah, well, it's timely. You know, coming here at the end of August, we just had the hurricane going up the East Coast. So that's, and then the earthquake. The week before.
Right.
And, you know, whenever I'm teaching, I always like tying into those current events because our students are living in the moment. So how can we find those hooks back? And then here we have all these wonderful resources at the Library of Congress to tap into and, you know, go back and learn some of those lessons.
Right. And we're building, you know, with every grade level we're building. So we do, we can start giving little pieces to build that foundation with younger students And then as they move forward and they get into more details and more research and inquiry, and that as they go forward as they're older, then they can, you know, draw on those experiences from early grade levels and move up into more difficult things. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. I appreciate the time.
You're very welcome, and thanks for coming in and doing this.
Thank you.
And we'll be back again next month.
Thank you very much.
My technology pick of the week this week are a couple of interactive timelines about the 9/11 tragedy. The History Channel offers a timeline along with a host of multimedia content, including video, photos, audio, and interactive maps. A link is available in the show notes. I have also linked to a 9/11 memorial website with a timeline of the events of that day. These websites are interactive and allow you to scroll through a timeline to see a breakdown of the events that occurred that tragic day. There will also be many memorial services on 9/11 across America, so be sure to check out the opportunities to attend in your local area to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 tragedy. Here at EIU, there are several events scheduled during the week of 9/11, including a candlelight vigil and memorial service on Sunday evening the 11th on the Quad, as well as many guest speakers scheduled to speak at various events throughout the week. That wraps it up for episode 123 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I want to thank Dr. Cindy Rich for being a guest on today's show. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom. Keep on learning.